Hello, everyone. My name is Gavin Shields, and I was able to join you guys 2 weekends ago when Brian Dunn was presenting, and I loved his language of saying we're spirit beings. So when I was thinking through how to introduce myself today, I'd like to introduce myself as a human on a journey of remembering that I am a being. And I think so often we flip those words, right? We call ourselves human beings, but what if we called ourselves, what if we were just being human, we were comfortable in that skin. In terms of my background, I'm a husband and a father, dog lover too. I have a 14-year-old dog. My dad is of Irish Celtic lineage, and my mom's Slavic, German, Russian. As a child, I had the opportunity to grow up outside institutional education, so my parents provided the opportunity for me to be homeschooled. In Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, the Tri-Cities. So much of my experience comes from being outside along the Grand River and Speed River, those confluents. In 2012, with that family, I moved up to Thunder Bay. I started at Confederation College in the film production program, but then transitioned to Lakehead, and took Indigenous learning and philosophy as an undergrad. I started working up north. I met my wife at Lakehead, and in 2020 we bought this house, and in 2021 we welcomed our daughter to the world. So I'm completing work right now in a Master's of Education for Change, with a specialization in Indigenous education. And the project that Michelle and I met through was called the Lakehead Labyrinth Project. And so that's what I'm working on. That's what I'll present a little bit about here today. And then I do have my own service called Heart Shifting, which will be part of what I speak about as well. So it's great to be here.
Today, we invite you into a more contemplative journey of going inward that is inspired by the spiral, the circle, and a co-creative process that will call us to listen deeply as well as imagine new possibilities. I invite you to set aside whatever preoccupations you may have as you join us today. And presence yourself here in spite of the pressures of time and meeting later. Let's allow ourselves a feeling of spaciousness in response to the invitation to be here now. Just as we breathe in and out, and the tide comes in and goes out. And our hearts take in blood and pump it out. We are involved in journeying in as well as out. As we take care of renewing ourselves and supporting each other and the wider community in renewing itself. Today, we are going to use the universal symbol of the spiral to support us on our reflective, contemplative journey. It may be challenging and feel like a stretch for some of us to do this kind of work within the context of our Sunday service. This is an invitation to be open and to renewing our commitment to living and loving in ever widening circles. The words of Rainer Maria Rilke, translated by Joanna Macy. I live my life in ever widening circles that reach out across the world. I may not complete this last one, but I will give myself to it. I circle around God, around the primordial tower. I've been circling for thousands of years, and I still don't know. Am I a falcon, a storm, or a great song? Our first reading today is a reading about imagination. and ultimately about the creative spark within. I've taken it from the introduction to the Gospel of Philip, which is one of the apocryphal Gospels. It was translated by Jean-Yves Leloup. Imagination is at the deepest root of what it means to be human. Our societies, institutions, moral and political norms, philosophies, works of art, and also what is now called science, all of these are born of imagination. This recognition of imagination gives rise to a momentous idea. Human beings and their societies can change. It was the ancient Greeks who first realized the imaginary nature of the great meanings that structure social life. From this realization arose the science of politics. In this sense, the questioning of existing institutions and changing them through purposive collective action. It also gave birth to philosophy. In this sense, the questioning of established meanings and representations and changing these through the reflective activity of thought. And to politics and philosophy, we should add poetry and spirituality. There is neither human story nor cosmic story without the presence of imagination to speak it. When this faculty of imagination is not kept alive, there is no more story to be told. And institutions begin to stiffen and become dogmatic. Their objectifications then take on the quality of absolutes. When imagination becomes stuck or frozen, creation and poetry are no longer possible. And this also closes the door to democratic processes as well as the arts and sciences. If people lack imagination, how can they find solutions to the challenges of life? How can they find renewal? I'd now like to call on Gavin to share with us his thoughts. Gavin?
Okay. Thank you, Michelle. So similar to Brian 2 weeks ago, I'd like to just speak very informally off the cusp of my heart today, because renewal is something that I need in my life. So our daughter turned one this past week. I also turned 28. So each time we circle around, right, there's this sense of being able to, there's another layer on the tree ring, right? Another year of growth, another year of reflection. And so that's where I come into this today. And using Brian Dunn as that bridge, I was able to go out and walk with Brian Dunn last week, because the work he's involved with and the work I'm involved with, it's very similar. And this question of how to self-regulate, right? Because life is wild, the social change we see going on, right? The chaoticness of everything in this moment. So the topics of my talk are just two really simple things. One, self-regulation, right? How do each of us in these times take care of our own selves? The other is co-regulation, right? How do we come together in community and confront these changing times? And so last week I sent Brian an email. I've sat through many lectures and services that Brian has done. So it was great to connect with a friend after a couple years and get out for a walk. And we were able to sit by a fire too. But it's interesting because what Brian shared about what he's doing to self-regulate is he's recording the Psalms. So he has a guitar, acoustic Psalms. This is his YouTube channel. I highly recommend it. I was listening to his most recent one last night. And so that is something that provides him the creative space to move through, right? What career, what family, right? He's created that inward space, that reflective, that scriptural space, to speak, to create, to sing. So at this time in my life, right, I'm just being really open here, right? I'm looking for, okay, another year, right? My daughter's 1 year old, she's gonna be two next year. Where do I create that space for myself? Where do we hold that space as our family? Because as Michelle described in the introduction, right, it is every biological process, every spiritual process, every cosmic process is there's an inward, right, an inward breath or inward flow of blood, and then an outward flow. And I like to describe that as a self-regulation. Each of us in our own emotions, our own nervous system, responding to the world around us, and then there's a communication, a co-regulation. So much of the work I've done the past few years has looked at self-regulation and co-regulation of the human nervous system. Now, looking to our scriptural inheritance, right? And what I've started doing when I read scriptures, I look at the word spirit, and I kind of exchange that for electricity and magnetism, because we are electromagnetic beings, right? We are spiritual beings, right? We connect. Our technologies right now are connecting through the air, but we do that too, right? Just the very fact of speaking, right? We're exchanging information through airwaves on Zoom right now. It's an incredible potential we have in terms of how connected we are through technology right now. And that's where I come into this group. I'm a millennial, so I came of age with this technology. So I see how the world has really rewired itself and how all our social institutions, they are, like Michelle introduced, right? They are not rigid, right? There's plasticity, right? We can be part of a big shift. But finding our own voices, right? This is what Brian spoke about, right? Finding a way of self-regulating ourselves and then coming together in community is what the exercise Michelle and I have put together is all about today. So describe briefly the story behind this exercise we're sharing. So as I mentioned in the introduction, I'm a master's of education student. So I look at how to share tradition, how to speak across cultural traditions, and how to really begin to co-regulate where each of us come from. Thunder Bay is an amazing place for this, right? Because I think there are issues here in Thunder Bay that are so blatantly apparent that we have to look at them. So Jan Arden in that introduction, right, she talks about an arrow, and a colleague of mine has described Thunder Bay as a place where, sometimes it's so bad, but it's like a trajectory of an arrow, right? It's been pulled further back. The bow has been pulled further back, which means we can shoot the arrow further forward, because we're dealing with issues that, quite honestly, need to be seen here in Thunder Bay, and that can lead the nation here, right, in terms of how we address this, but that requires community, right? And I think this is something when Brian and I met, we talked about so much, right? Because we all know so many people doing this honest-hearted work, right? But how do we come together and renew together so that we can self-regulate by relying on other people? And so this was a lesson that in my life this past year, looking at what I need to renew, was so obvious watching my daughter Ira grow, right? As infants, we're unable to self-regulate. We need to go to our parents. If there's emotions or if need to sleep, and then the parent helps to co-regulate and calm down that child's nervous system. That again is a metaphor we see throughout scripture, right? Going to the Father, calling in Mother Mary, right? So life is this iterative process of year after year, right? Like I said, we add another tree ring layer on, and the spiral is a symbol that's been used across cultures worldwide in labyrinth form, so the looping form. There's research that shows the last 6,000 years people have been carving this into stone, laying it down on the ground, walking the pattern. And that symbol emerges at times of heightened social crisis. So we're moving through a convergence of crises right now. So this notion of the labyrinth, contemplative space, the metaphor being follow the path, right? And sometimes I have a reading about the labyrinth to share at the end. Sometimes the path can take you right beside where you think you're going, and then it shoots you out to the outer circle. So I've experienced that a ton. When Michelle and I met this fall and started talking about this, it was one of those moments where it's like, I thought it was here, but then it's there. So there's learning for me there. There's learning for how do I deal with this, right? How do I deal with my emotions, with my process? How do I self-regulate that? And then how do I find people, right, in terms of companionship, who can come together and hold that space? So when Michelle and I met, we met at St. Paul's Anglican Church, where there's a rose labyrinth, a walking labyrinth. And we had planned to walk that labyrinth together. But lo and behold, it was covered by a whole sheet of snow. So when Michelle and I met, we were like, ooh, I don't think we'll be able to shovel it up or dig it out. So I had the thought, in the research I've done up north, there's an elder I worked with who's since passed away, but her brother was Amo Ashkenob, and his artwork is all over the hospital in Thunder Bay. And he has these beautiful printmaking prints, and every animal he draws in there, including humans, he draws their heart with a little spiral into their heart. So when Michelle and I were brainstorming or heartstorming this service, we thought, okay, let's use the spiral instead of the labyrinth, because on that day we met, we were able to walk a 7-cycle spiral in on top of that rose labyrinth, and then we sat on the bench and just had a co-regulated conversation, right, where we were both able to bring our hearts, right, here's my struggle, here's yours, how do we work together, and how do we work in community, how do we bring this information to community. So before I share this final reading, I'll just introduce the exercise we're going to do today, called the Heart of Renewal. If you were able to print it off before, that's great. Our spiral labyrinth, or the spiral Heart of Renewal. If not, just draw it, find a piece of paper and draw a little spiral for yourself. And what we're going to do today is we're going to reflect back on these past years of life. So imagine that spiral is like a tree ring. Each of those cycles represent maybe a decade or a number of years. So we're gonna begin by using our fingers, and we're gonna trace that cycle backwards into the heart, just like Amo's drawings. And then when we get to the center, I'll invite you to pick up your pen or pencil. And so the inward represents self-regulation, right? That's, we all have our own experiences to take to the Father, right, to deal with. And then when you get to the center, I'm going to invite you to start to write outward, to write what renewal you need in your heart, how you'd like to share that in community. And as we go ahead and do that, I'm going to share this last reading as you start to trace to the center. So this reading is by a book or from a book called Celebrating the Labyrinth that was released last year. Galen McQueen from Nipissing University wrote this. And this book is called, or this poem, sorry, is called For a Labyrinth Wedding. And when I read this, I was so reminded of my daughter's process of learning to self-regulate through coming to co-regulate with my wife and I, her parents. So I thought this was a great poem to show how there's in beat, there's out beat, there's being together in community, and then there's being by ourselves. So feel welcome to begin tracing that spiral to the middle, and my words will accompany you for the first part of the journey. And then when you get to the center, we'll just all spend time writing outwards what is on our heart, right? What we want to renew after all these years. So here is For Labyrinth Wedding. We enter the labyrinth alone. Step by step, we trace the circuits. Curved by inevitable curve, we wind towards and away from the center, the rose, the goal. Sometimes almost close enough to touch it, sometimes an infinity apart. Then close again as we approach the rose center until suddenly we are there, wind wrapped, rose wrapped, until we are there, no longer two, but one, not only one. But two, in this mysterious dance of love and freedom, close enough to touch fingertips, close enough to hold hands, close enough to embrace, from the rose center we return out to the vast world a gift, the one that we are and the two that we are, a new gift to the world, until in time we return to the labyrinth to discover again and yet again the one that we are and the two that we are. At the center of the rose.
We would like to take a few moments for community dialogue. If there's anything you'd like to share about your experience today or your experience of doing this spiral work, we invite you to do so now. You can put up your hand and I'll call upon you. Rob?
Thank you, Michelle, and good morning, everyone. Just a short reflection on that. I confess that I couldn't suppress a bit of an eye roll when it was suggested a little bit earlier, but I said, "Rob, behave yourself." But why I chose to speak at this moment is that I found it remarkably or surprisingly easy to focus as I was coming out of the spiral. And I found it a remarkably helpful exercise. And I wanted to thank you for suggesting it this morning.
Thank you, Rob. Someone calling in from Ray's iPad.
Sorry, that's me, Irene.
Irene, hi.
I just this was a really good exercise. While I was working, we had a labyrinth tiled into the floor of our group room, and it was something that I did frequently. It was walk the labyrinth. But after retiring, it left my mind to do it. So this was a amazing exercise to get back and remember how good it was for me to do.
Thank you.
I see Hanisha's hand up.
Okay, thanks, Gavin. Hanusha.
Thanks, Gavin. Yeah, it's hard to see when so many people are on. I really appreciated the exercise. I love labyrinths. I've walked a few, and a friend gifted me one on canvas with the lines raised, so I can actually do it with my eyes closed. So I appreciate being reminded of how much I enjoy that experience. And even, you know, with 1,000 thoughts flying around in the head and thinking about tech stuff, it was really good to just sit and focus. And things came up that I know have value for me. So thank you for making this possible.
Thank you, Hanusha. Jean? Jean Armstrong?
Yes. When I lived in Manitoba for 10 years, I ran an art gallery, and one of the exhibits that I decided to do was based on the labyrinth. And we had a number of different shapes of labyrinths, but the one that I liked the best, and I would walk it every morning in the gallery, was created out of shoes, pairs of shoes from a museum, a dress or clothing museum. And there were about, I don't know, a couple of 100 pairs of shoes all lined up in the same shape as what Gavin, some point covered Gavin's book that he showed us. And we had people from all over come and walk that labyrinth and enjoy it, including kids from classes. And it was one of the best exhibits I think that we had over the years that I was there. One of my favorites anyway. And I still think about walking the labyrinth and how it can really make you focus on your core self. And this was really nice to see this again and think about the labyrinth and think about, the spiral too. It's kind of a similar kind of a thing, but the labyrinth, you go in and you can come back out again the same way. It's kind of cool. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Jean. Mary Veltri? Please unmute yourself, Mary.
There. Hi. I really enjoyed, can you hear me?
Yes.
I really enjoyed the exercise as well. I had a vision earlier this morning of a toad. And so I went to look up what toad symbolizes, and it's a symbol of renewal and resurrection and a protector of hidden treasures, maybe, or guardian of hidden treasures. Anyway, so I just, that just kind of popped into my head because you said renewal, to think about renewal as we write down going along this spiral. And I've also been, I created a labyrinth out in BC once made out of shells, big ones, oyster shells, I guess. And they were very rank. And so it was a very physical kind of mindfulness, but you were always aware of the smell of the shells and waiting until the sun baked them to get rid of the smell. But anyways, but this exercise was really different because when I do the mindful walking, I'm very much in my body. And this was more a reflective exercise using my mind. And what I found was that it was, it really did help, like the mindfulness of the exercise of going around and thinking about renewal really helped me get to a clearer understanding of what it is that I'm trying to bring in. And so it was, I really liked the exercise and I will share it with other people because it's just reinforced what I think is necessary for becoming more present. And the idea of regulating, co-regulating and self-regulating and the balance of that, you know, and the need to balance taking care of my body, my mind, but also recognizing opportunities for connecting with other people and being present for those opportunities. So yeah, it was very rich. I liked it a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. Gavin.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank everybody for taking part in this exercise. And if anybody ever wants more information about the labyrinth at Lakehead, glad to share it. And then I just wanted to say too, kids in the labyrinth is an incredible thing. And the brain science really does show that this is something that, whether it's physically walking or just tracing with the finger, right, it changes our mental state. And all cultures have known this. And I've benefited personally with lots of excitement from having this to help me calm down. So wonderful to share it. And just show that, right, our modern science is starting to catch up with what traditions knew and held, and what a gift labyrinth and spirals are to the world in this time of transformation and renewal. So thank you.